that our bones would be full of flesh, full of life, full of hope. Lord, there'd be no dry bones, just bones that are alive by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive your Spirit. We receive you, Holy Spirit. We receive you as our eyes are opened, our ears are opened. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The breath of life. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When the presence of the Lord is strong like this, it's a humbling thing. What can our response be other than to say, Lord, we love you. We praise you. Nothing else said or done can ever trump your presence. In your presence, there is peace and joy. There is no wicked thing. There is no dissension. There is no division. In your presence is unity. In your presence is purpose. In your presence is hope. In your presence is willingness to be conformed to the likeness of your Son. Thank you, Lord. In your presence is everything. Thank you, Lord. Touch us in the deep places, Lord. The deep, deep places, Lord. There is no confusion in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Just right in front of me is such a beautiful picture. I wish I had my own cell phone right now just to capture it. It's really beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at that. Hi, sweetie. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a picture of what Jesus is doing. Thank you, Jesus. We received just a few minutes ago, true to our mission nature overseas. We received an update from Ghana. Josh is there, Pastor Bill, my love, and Deanne and Carly, as you know. And Troy, I don't know, do we have pictures or no?
Yes, we do.
Just this moment, they just came. But I can just give you a very quick rundown. They left for Ghana last Tuesday and had a wonderful time in the south, getting ready, reuniting with our Ghanaian family there. And we'll release the kids in just a second. Just want you to hear this and see some pictures of people you love in Ghana. Anyway, so down in the south in Accra with Pastor Samuel, Mama Vera, and many other people, the team hung out for a little bit and did various things and then set forward to go on a 12 to 16 to 19 hour ride to go to the north, to go to our land, to go up to Sala in northern Ghana. And 2 days later, 2.5 days later, they got there. Oh, man. So they had one vehicle and rented another one, and that vehicle they rented broke down. I don't want to say true to form because that's just not, I don't want to speak that out. But we've had a lot of different things, haven't we, Dylan? So anyway, the one that was rented broke down, and I talked to Pastor Bill, and he basically said, praise God, there's good coming out of this somewhere. And so Josh and Pastor Bill leading people to Jesus, probably Deanne and Carly too. I just didn't get that, so I don't know. So here we are. Wowie, this is on the land. I want to see it. So they finally, yesterday late, made it in the middle of the night, a Saturday night in the middle of the night, which would be earlier for us. They made it to the land, and there are people on our land praying at 2:30 in the morning, praying them in because of this wild, wild ride. So, yeah. So then this morning, which has already taken place, this morning is now evening there. Pastor Bill was preaching on our land, and I guess there were a lot of village churches there. It's a big crowd. I'm not sure how many. I do know that now we have 17 branches, Troy?
17 branches in the north.
17 branches in the north, and in 2002, we didn't have any. And so, you know, it's really cool when you start and you plow ground that's really wicked and hard, and it's the north. It takes a while, and we believe that once things continue to ignite there, there's going to be an outbreak of revival that is going to speed this up. So Josh and Pastor Bill and Deanne and Carly are leading Kingdom Bible School, and this week and whenever beyond, and it's the School of Worship. So yay for that. And when Cynthia and myself and Andy and Rick and Dylan were there last year at this time, we just really felt that God did something pretty amazing and pretty wild, didn't we? And we felt that the Lord was bringing two cultures together in a new way. One was a culture of maybe tradition, and one was a culture of a little bit more non-traditional, if you will. And so we felt that there was this mixing, a good mixing this time, and that we felt that there would be a Kingdom School of Worship this year. And so my heart wanted to go, and the Lord didn't give me peace to buy the ticket. That was a hard one. But the Lord said, you're here. I said, okay, I'm here, yay. So for a lot of different reasons, I'm here and not there. So but my heart is there too. So I don't know if we have anything to show. We do. They're coming.
Yep, coming okay. Right up.
Anyway, I think what you're going to see is, I think, a picture on our land with one of the buildings, which is our structure. They call it the shed, but it's more than a shed. This is a kingdom place where we have all kinds of things, teachings and whatever. And I don't know if you'll see our buildings there or not, other things, but the shed is there, which we did put a new roof on last year. And the Lord doesn't want us to forget all the things that he's been sowing into that. And you all have a heritage there. It's part of who you are. It's part of... How many of you have been to Ghana before? I see Rick. Oh, I see back there. That's so cool. Yeah. Oh, look. Look at this. That's our land. That's our, wow, that's this morning, God.
So they have some captions.
Okay.
The caption for this picture, they said, is, Pastor Bill is teaching that we can partner with Jesus for everything in life. And then in this picture there, the congregation is participating by reaching up with Pastor Bill to take the hand of the Father as they partner with him. And then,
and that would be
here.
You want me to highlight, or do you have a caption?
This, I believe, is breaking news. When Pastor Bill prayed for healing during the service, a woman who had pain in her head felt the pain leave her head and move down through her body and then out, leaving her completely. God is so good to bring healing and deliverance to his children.
Amen. Yay.
There's Dion.
Captions or no?
Yes, I'm yes? just,
they're not
in
there.
The same order.
Okay. Deanne with little children.
Deanne with children. That's a pretty good caption. This is the newest hotel in Sola.
This is our
By the
land.
Time the construction was finished, the last large tent had a line of guests waiting to check in at both doors.
This is for the Kingdom Bible School pastors and leaders, and more will fit into those than you can imagine.
So a full house greeted us for the Sunday morning service.
Wow, look at that.
And this was...
Yeah, come on. Woo. These are the beginning. These are the beginning of the forerunners in this area. It's been really dry. This is pretty exciting, isn't it? Boy, that really blesses me.
So they're getting
Yay,
ready.
Yay, God, look at that. That's what greeted them this morning. Oh, come on, Jesus.
And this is on our land at our structure where the Kingdom Bible School is.
Wow.
And then Carly is greeting our Ghanaian family.
There's Josh. Woo. Wow. Very cool.
And then Josh. Josh is talking about how our friends, how valuable they are both to us and to God. And the future of Ghana was their caption.
Yeah, that's so good.
And men from one of the local branches are focused on the encouragement being offered from the front.
Wow.
This is Pastor Bill teaching that we can partner with Jesus for everything in life.
That's right. Oh.
And
it's awesome.
So I think that's the end of the slideshow.
That's it. Is that exciting? How many of us know to be able to do these things, it doesn't come without a fight in the spirit, a battle in the spirit, and we need the wisdom of God to be able to know how to work through those battles, because in Him, all answers are found, always. Take that with you in your heart, always, for everything that you have going on in your life. Jesus is the answer, and He will make things like this come to pass. So, 2009, Pastor Bill and I, the devil tried to kill us in 2009. I say that because he didn't, and we're alive. But he tried. He tried real hard. And so this is the fruit of that. And see, God wants to bring more fruit, and He's going to do it with greater depth of evangelistic efforts and many dreams and visions. So some of you have had dreams and visions and words and pictures about our thrust in Ghana North, and would love you to send those to me. I'd love to be able to look at them this week. Mel Tari prayed over Pastor Bill and I when he was here for Relentless Pursuit in our dining room, and touched Bill and I, and we both hit the deck in our dining room on the floor and in the wood floor. And so he was really speaking about, and he told us to build physically, build here, build there, build overseas, and we're doing that. But it was just a confirmation, a word from the Lord, and the Lord wants all of us together to partner in heart and doesn't want us to lose heart. Any kind of losing of heart is a loss in the kingdom, and it's not from God ever. It's always Jesus who is unifying. Remember that. Jesus unifies. So be wise. Amen? So little children, off to kingdom land. Amen. Big children, more good things for what God wants to do. Would anybody be able to get a glass of water for me? Just something water would be good. Yeah. Josh led someone to the Lord. Where? Hey, hang on, Josh. We have a testimony.
Well, the only other main testimony they shared is as they were driving to the north, the vehicle they were driving broke down, and the steering wheel would not turn left or right. It just went straight. So that's not good because the roads in Ghana aren't that straight. So they actually ended up getting stuck overnight where they're at and stayed in a local hostel. It was not a hostile hostel. But that next morning while they're waiting for it to get fixed, Josh was able to talk to a man there at the hostel named Azamoa, and he accepted the Lord at the end of their talk. So just thank the Lord for that fruit, that if they hadn't gotten stuck there, there wouldn't be that fruit.
And that could be the next, I don't want to say just Billy Graham, because he's always used that way, but the next great evangelist in the world. You know, we have to look at that. God stops for the one, and He wants us to stop for the one, and he will tell us to listen to Him, and He'll give us the directions, the strategies from heaven. If we don't partner with His strategies, then heartache comes, His strategies. So we want to partner just with what He is saying and doing in this hour. Because he wants us to be able to have something like this and even greater, which is more people in the kingdom, more lost coming in to know Jesus. So before, if you didn't get one of these, I think before today, we printed off a bunch. This is just a download that the Lord gave about what does love look like. And I was reminded, actually, when God gave this, that we were, last year, when we were in Ghana on the land, we were imparting For the Kingdom Bible School, we were imparting what does God look like in many different ways, in many different forms. And so this is not a result of that. Sorry. But if you don't have one, you can take one. There's one out in the hallway. And it's loaded with scripture because everything we do needs to be founded in scripture. This is a very scriptural place. And so we don't want anything to not be birthed in scripture. So when we have experience, when we encounter the Lord, we'll be able to back that up before and after with scripture so that we don't get off track in any way, which this will also help. So this is all about the cross. We start with the cross, end with the cross, and what it means to live that way. And to be able to follow every word that's in scripture and follow it clearly. If we don't, we'll go astray. And we don't want to do that. And we'll call something good that is not good. We'll call something bad that is not bad. And that's what happens. So it's very important. So if you want to take one of these, again, if you may think, oh, did I get one before? If you have one that looks like this without the cover and it says, what does love look like? Then don't take it. So you can take that. But we're going to be going through that in different groups that we have in here in Frontline. Because there's a thread of how God ties in his heart. Oh, thank you. I do need that. Thank you so much. How he ties in his heart to help us from the beginning all the way through to the end so that we finished well. Those of you who were with us for Relentless Pursuit, all I can say is there's been a lot of backwash and front wash that's come as a result of that. In a good way and sometimes difficult way. Because anything that comes from God's hand is always beautiful. Anything that's not from God's hand brings a lot of distress and pain. And God wants us to be able to know the difference and be able to walk through all seasons in our life to be able to step into the part that we play for the grand finale generation that Mel Tari was talking about. So I've been in touch with these guys and Inez since they've left, and they're so grateful, just absolutely stunning what they felt God was doing here and what he was releasing here. And for those of you who are able to be here, I know you were really blessed. If you weren't able to be here, we want you to be blessed. So at the end of this month, hi guys, it's a little troop. These are your future little light. Look at all these guys, man, come on. Stephanie. Wow. Wow, that's kind of multiplication, I would say, huh? Yeah. So God is really, really serious right now and wants us to be blessed. So we have, if you haven't ordered this, if you'd like to, Carly's out, so you can see Bethany. That'd be good. Bethany can take your order so that you can see it or listen to it. It's just worth the money. It really is. Because I've been listening to some things that came. I don't have the final copies, but wow, it's just loaded. And when you mix it with what God did last year, you can see the progression. And, you know, God wants us to be blessed, so amen. I want to play something for you. Oh, thank you. Boy, I'm getting showered with water. That's so good. And this one's hot. This is my favorite. Thank you, Becca. That's so nice. Yeah, God is good. I've been running a lot without Pastor Bill here. It's a kind of double duty, and that's good. I'm just running a lot, so thank you for this. Thank you, sweetie. And my throat lozenger. But that's good. But I encouraged all of you since Relentless Pursuit to listen to anything you could get your hands on from that time. And Pastor Jose, who's one of Pastor Bill's and my very close personal heroes and friends, we're very close, we share a lot. He's extremely wise and is led by the Spirit of God, we believe. And he knows us and our lives very, very well. There isn't anything he doesn't know about us. And so we trust his heart and trust his life. And so we wouldn't knowingly anyway bring someone in here to bless you that we didn't think was someone who walks really closely with the Holy Spirit. saying that, I've been listening to his last message, which is actually at Fire and Wind. Was it two Tuesdays ago now, I think? Hey, guys. Hi. Good to see you. Beth and Cameron. Woo-hoo. I didn't see you guys. I'm actually starting my fifth time listening to it. Is that crazy? I really do that. I tell you I listen to the podcast, and I really do. So anyway, I started listening to the fifth time because I thought, God, you're saying something here, you're doing something here that is for all of us, that's really a blessing. And I had a chance to participate in it at the end. But it's really good, and you can all get it. You don't have to wait for Relentless Pursuit to come out. And I really think it would be helpful for everyone because it's another step in humility towards, you know, going towards the cross and then living from the cross to the grave and to the grave beyond the resurrection life. And I think that's what we need. Many things are happening in this region, and God has allowed us to be part of it. You know, we're part of connecting with some cool places where God is touching hungry hearts, people who are really, really hungry, not just talking about it, but really hungry. God's doing that. And he wants us to be able to know what he's saying in this hour. He doesn't want us double-minded. He doesn't want us confused. He doesn't want us anything to be anything other than completely saturated in his love and not to be persuaded or in any way looking at any direction other than into his eyes. And so one lovely person in this place asked me recently, how do you know truth? And I said, the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Spirit of God will speak. And he will also bring help to be able to take us into a place where anything in us that could hinder us hearing him properly, because he is speaking, that would be removed. And that's what he's doing in this hour for everybody. There's no escaping it. If we're hungry for revival, that we're hungry for visitation, we're hungry for habitation, there's no escaping that. And wisdom, wise ones will say, take me apart, Lord, here I am, and be very vulnerable that way. And when that happens, we'll be able to receive encouragement and correction because they go hand in hand. So I missed the first half of this because I was working with Shannon in the police station. And she has quite a testimony, and I shared a lot of it from the perspective God gave me because it's very prophetic, the details of it. She was hit by a car, and she was thrown up in the air, and God saved her and put her in a place where when you look at her life, you would think, come on, that didn't even really happen. So the natural started to move in the sphere that she was in the hospital, in the police, with the police, with witnesses. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. And God kind of dropped me in the center of it. I wasn't asking for that, but it was still when our Relentless Pursuit heroes were here. And so God dropped in that, and then it went on for a week. And the enemy, I believe, with very good people, wanted to try to bang her up a little bit. And very nice people, good people. But God said no. And the Lord really, really spoke clearly to a lot of people and changed things around. So we saw from being used, actually, he uses people. He uses his prophets. He does. He says prophets will speak. They will hear the truth, and they will speak, and they will act. And so he uses people who will speak out on behalf of the king, do it in loving, kind ways, and do it in ways that will also release his authority. And sometimes it doesn't feel so good. I mean, I stood right in the police station, and I stood my ground for what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I was met with a lot of resistance. And the resistance, I don't know if people knew the Lord or not, but when the Holy Spirit speaks and you're led by him, then you speak his words. And then over a period of time, what went from you are doing this and here's a citation, went to we're ripping the citation up, you don't go to court. And that's from the Lord. It's from the hand of the Lord. And you can talk to her and get all the details because I shared it on, I think, Tuesday. The spiritual significance. But what was interesting about that is that I was with her during one of the last legs of that, just maybe in the middle of it, and Pastor Jose was preaching here. I never know what he's going to do or say. And that's one of the blessings of being connected with him. And he loves that actually about us. He told me, you're flexible. And if you hear something, you'll move that way and you'll drop what you're thinking, drop what you're doing, and you'll move that way. And I said, he told me that just recently. And I said, well, what else could you do? And the Holy Spirit's really moving. And that's why we flow in peace, and that's how you know truth, when there's real peace and not fake peace. Fake peace the enemy likes to bring so that we're content in our stuff. But true peace may come with a little rubbing of, you know, edges a little bit, but that's okay. And that's what he was doing somewhat. And I think it's very, very helpful. And I would really encourage you to listen to it and look for the meanings that he's bringing. So what I wanted to do, and I thought, boy, Lord, I don't know how long the worship's going to go today or anything. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I just want to play. I can't play the whole thing. It was an hour or something. But there's, you know, some key places that I want you to hear the familiar voice, because for some of you it may be the first time, for some of you it may be the second time. And I just think it will speak to you about something, some things. Do you have Galatians 3:1 there? Can you put that up? He started what he was saying with Galatians 3:1, and he said that was the scripture that God gave him. And we're going to put it up. Is it up there? Okay, but it talks about, oh, foolish Galatians, and I thought, wow, that's kind of strong. But this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to believers, and he's calling them foolish because he loves them so much. And he's saying, I want you to hear what I'm saying because you started out in the Spirit because you received Jesus, but you're trying to prove your life in the flesh, and it won't work, and you'll get very, very hurt. So it's Galatians 3:1-3. So let's just look at it together, because we skipped that part in trying to, you know, speed things up for you. He had people reading it in the church service, but it says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I mean, can you imagine sitting there seeing Papa Paul, you know, and trying to do a good thing for Jesus, and he's speaking those kinds of words? And he's speaking by the Spirit of God, because he's telling them something that they need to hear so that they will wake up. And it's love. So what does love look like? Sometimes it looks like a strong word, and this is really Paul's heart. So, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So he's challenging them. He said, look, I'm going to go right back to the beginning of how you started. Did you start knowing Jesus or receiving Jesus by the Spirit or by the works of the law? And you can read this whole chapter, and it'll wreck you over and over, because he really goes into a lot more than what we're going to go over about law versus works or law versus grace. And so God is all about grace, not law. But we can move back into law and not even realize it if we're not very, very mindful. And so it says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh? That's all the way through, isn't it? Yeah. And so I looked this up because he didn't say anything about this, and I wanted to give it to you. But the word foolish in the original language is translated literally. Now here's the meaning of it, you know, without sense. So he's saying, oh, foolish, without sense Galatians, you don't have sense. You are not using what I've given you. You're moving, but you're lacking sense that I want to release to you. And he says, you're going back under the law. That's what it means in Galatians. And I believe it's three times in those first few verses, 1-3 or 5, that he says that. And he says that word, and it's kind of like, I think it's a wake-up that people would sit in there, you know, in the synagogue or wherever they were, these people under a tree or whoever, you know. And it's very interesting to read what he was speaking about before and after, and that will give you a little basis for why he was so strong, because I don't have time to go into that. But he spoke those words, and he was saying, listen, He doesn't just say, don't be foolish. He says, you are foolish. And if we are foolish in any way, he knows that the enemy will be able to hurt, to steal from you, to kill some things in you, to rip you of your inheritance, to rip you of your spiritual reasoning, you know, a lot of things. So he was very, very strong about that. So with PJ, that's how he started out. I didn't even get that until the end when I came in, or middle to end. So we're going to listen to a few minutes. I'd like you to listen by the Spirit to what he says, and then we'll have look at a few other verses to put in our pocket. So if you have that, I think it's at 6 minutes or something. It's Pastor Jose.
Your word, Lord, that you have for us, that we would receive it in the very depth of our being, Lord, that would change us and transform
That's okay.
us. And Lord, that
just put it up a little bit if you would, please.
Glorified. We thank you in Jesus' name.
So here we find that the apostle Paul was with Galatians and was a confusion, you know, because they had begun with the Spirit, and then after that they get confused. They brought back the traditions and cultures in the church. And then, you know, there's a difference in traditions and cultures and the Word of God. And we cannot mix these two things together. So they had begun with the Spirit. So they was trying to end with the flesh. It's not possible. Because the Bible is telling us that this Spirit is Spirit of Father, is our counselor. This Spirit is a person. He talks. He can hear you. And he can respond to you. And also, he is a fire who cleans. You know, I believe on this because myself, I took just 3 days. I was praying, God, if you are really, just clean me.
If you are really.
And then he came with his fire. And he cleans me. So around the place where I was living, people were seeing me. And they didn't understand what happens to me. But what happens is his fire did clean me. And I begin to feel him. And then he began to be a commander. He was telling me what to do. He was telling me what to not do. So he's a person. He's a fire. He cleans you. And then after cleaning you, he's not leaving you. He is sealing you. You are mine. You belong to me. Oh, if he's not Jesus, I will not answer.
The phone was ringing.
It's nothing. It's nothing. Woo!
is Pastor Jose. Those of you who've been to Moses, and oh my.
So we are sealed. We are his property. We are not belonging to us according to what we believe to. He is with us, walking with us everywhere we go. And he begins to tell us things, how to do, how to look, how to think. So, the Holy Spirit is possessing us. And then, in many times, we can lose even friends that we love them when he possesses us. We can lose even our brothers, because now we are different, and then we are not depending with other people. We depend with him. He is holy. And then everything we do is holy. We see that we are in his direction when we are doing holy. We see that he is our commander when we are doing holy. So listen, there's a difference getting excited and getting possessed. So we don't need to be excited. We need to be possessed. But sometimes there's a confusion. We was in the conference, you know, you can get excited, oh, Holy Spirit, and then when you go out, it's different things that you are doing. You are not doing the Holy Spirit. He has fruits. So we see his fruits in our life. And then other people will be convinced through the fruits that this man or woman is possessed through the Holy Spirit. He is different, is not like he was. Spirit of Father, when it's possessing you, you get like him. You know, in Africa, there's a problem. If a man...
Thank you. Wow. There's so much more. Hopefully that will, you know, kind of encourage you to listen to the rest all the way through. But he's speaking very simply about being controlled. He speaks about control, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only control that he wants us to really connect with. When we feel as though we're out of control, we want to get back in control in the natural, right? And so it's very easy to start looking at what control looks like, and we can have a very big misunderstanding of what that is if we're not possessed or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Anything that is bothering us, be it from a generation in the past, be it from your childhood, be it from anything, it will be squeezed whenever the Holy Spirit starts really, really rising, because God wants us to exchange any type of control in any way for Holy Spirit possession. That's what he's up to right now. He wants us to be so flexible that we can move and change and see what he's seeing, do what he's doing, say what he's saying. He's our commander. He enables us to surrender even more, to surrender to reason, to surrender to the truth, to surrender to leaders to surrender to each other, to surrender. Surrender is a key word in being possessed or being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so when he was talking about the fruit of this that comes out of a person's life, God is so intentional about seeing that that fruit will grow, that he will allow us to make choices, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit inside is saying no if we're not making choices that are after his own heart. And so God is very, very, very serious in this season for us to be able to lay down, to die, to stay dead, so that we can be possessed by him. And throughout the rest of what Pastor Jose was saying, he talks about things that will come and try to confuse us or even partner with us so that we cannot step into that fullness of being possessed, where we get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And throughout our day, "I love you, Holy Spirit. I can't wait to be with you, Holy Spirit. I want to spend time with you, Holy Spirit. I want to hear you, Holy Spirit, because I know you're speaking." You see? And he's very intentional. So some of the fruit that will come out of our life that Pastor Jose was talking about will be an absolute abhorrence or a hatred for the flesh. Anything that's fleshly will make us sick. Like, ick, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to feel that. So if we feel something that is fleshly, that you can find a nice list of what that can look like in Galatians. Anything at all that would be fleshly, he's wanting us to cringe and to say, "Why do I feel like this?" Maybe because Holy Spirit is not possessing me in those areas. Very, very serious in this hour. He's raising up a company of worshipers, of Davids, all over this region to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Our little people are being raised up that way. We are being raised up that way more and more and more. But you see, the heart of David, even in the Old Testament, was challenged because David so loved the Lord and wanted to give his life for the Lord and sing to the Lord and worship the Lord. And he's a model for us. Even someone that God said, "You're a man after my own heart." You know, so that's a good thing. I mean, David felt pretty good about himself, but there came a time in his life where he got a little puffed up in his goodness, or maybe took for granted some of the goodness that the Lord had released over him and said, "I've given you so much. I've allowed you to taste of heavenly things. I've used you as a leader." All of you are being raised up to be leaders, so all of you will be tested, if you will, to see what will happen. Not that God brings bad things, but he wants you to rise up, as Christy was singing this morning, and say, "I cannot have any judgment in my life. I cannot have any fear in my life. I cannot have any control in my life. I cannot have any unforgiveness in my life. I cannot have any rejection in my life." You know, anything like that that doesn't exist in heaven. Well, David was on that path, but David got... he moved off that path. And some of it may have even come, and I've taught on this before, but it may have even have come from his background and from his heritage and some of the sin in his own life that hadn't been dealt with, even though he loved God. And sin is weakness. It's not necessarily like that, but God sees it like that because it will hurt us. The Lord sees it like that. So if we call something sin because it separates us from hearing his voice, then God says, "Good for you. I'm going to call you to get rid of it so you can continue to worship." So David, as this beautiful worshiper before the Lord, he was actually, some of the things that were supposed to be belonging to him for his own inheritance, they were taken away by the enemy. And then Solomon came later, and Solomon was able to do some of the things that David wasn't able to do. And he even had struggles in his life. At the end of his life, he came in and had all these blessings. Pastor Jerseo spoke a lot about that at Relentless Pursuit. It was so amazing how he tied in 1 Kings 3, the blessings of Solomon that belong to us. And if you go through the rest of the book, and you can see that even at the highest place, he became a little full of himself, a little puffed up, and forgot to listen to the Spirit of God that would come upon him. And he ended up falling into some similar traps, even worse than David. Isn't that amazing? And it's a very interesting thing to see, because God doesn't want that at all. And so I wanted to show you something from a grace perspective, because Paul speaks to the Galatians and says, you're foolish. You know, and I don't know if he was smiling. I don't know if he was really quiet sounding. I don't know. I wasn't there. But when you say to someone, you foolish Galatians, it's strong enough to be able to bring a correction that's needed so that grace could abound and the law could be stifled and that there could be greater freedom to spread the gospel all over the world. The Galatians were chosen for that. You see? And Paul knew that. Paul had such an encounter, such a revelation with the Lord, of the Lord, that he saw that even in the people he dearly loved. They probably ran up to him and said, oh, Papa Paul, I love you. And then he said, yes, you foolish Galatians. It's like, I don't want to hear that side. But that's a side that God says, I want you to hear, because if not, the enemy will make sure that you never hear it, and you'll never be free enough to be able to carry that which was entrusted to you. So we all have an inheritance, and we want to be part of that grand finale generation, that end time group, in the way that we can. There can't be a mixture. We cannot start out with the wine and end with water. It won't go well, because the enemy says that whatever wasn't good in the beginning, if it's not stopped, will be much worse beyond that, because that's the nature of gunk. And Paul knew that, and he saw that in the Galatians and said, what are you doing? Stop. And hopefully many listened to him. I believe so. So I just want to give you a picture of one of my heroes of the faith, which is David. And David did some pretty gross things. And maybe some of us have done that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But any time that we sin against God or we don't listen to the one who wants to possess us, that's sinning against God. It's like, what? He wants us to fully be possessed by him? Yeah. So that we're living in the fear of God. He says, I want you to know that my fire in you, okay, will cause you to be this way with me, but it won't be afraid of me. You will run to me, but you will have this awesome holy fear that you cannot tolerate anything in the realms that I was talking about. You can't. It's not godly. It's not healthy. And you certainly don't want that for your life or your children or your grandchildren or your friends, because they will be hurt. They will be wounded. When I went back to Ghana in 2009, after the enemy tried to take my life in 2000, I'm sorry, I went back in 2010. But in 2009, my papa spoke to me, and he said, you are dying, but you will not die. I was dying. My life was on the line. My children surrounded me and said, Mom, fight. You will live and not die. And they stood by me as they saw the physical life being taken away. And the enemy will try to take the spiritual life away, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. He will try anything that he can. And you stood behind me too. And so we're still going forward in Ghana and many places around the world. But in 2010, I went back there and went back into the same village, went back into the same darkness, really, as an overcomer. And was so interesting is when I met just a pawn. Well, actually, it wasn't a pawn. It was a very heavy-weighted person from the demonic perspective. He wasn't just a pawn. He could kind of kick out of the way, didn't have much influence. He was more of a queen in the checkmate, in the check, you know, of chess, trying to move around. And the Lord said, excuse me, I'm the king. But he was very weighty, and people from all over the nation and different nations would come to him. So he was just a picture of the major strongholds in that region and the country. And we went toe-to-toe. It was really Jezebel and Elijah. It was a spiritual battle. And Jezebel lost. And Jezebel actually lost the life. He had partnered with that spirit very, very drastically. And so when we were there in early years, even before 2009, we went into that village and preached on that, preached on the overcoming spirit of Elijah. And there was a lot of shaking going on. And we were arch enemies of this demonic stronghold in the region. And it was very evil, very wicked. Well, the next year, after this wickedness tried to raise its ugly head from the Kingdom Bible School and such, we went back. And some of my family were with me, and we had a good team, and we went back, and I met that person, and I had love in my heart for the one who was used by the enemy to try to kill me. And I said, you need to receive Jesus, because the Lord, I have a very strong prophetic voice that God's given me. And so I spoke, and I said, this is very important. Listen to me. Come. Don't miss this. Because we went back in 2010, and I wanted to see him saved, even though he had been used to kill so many people, physically kill them, spiritually kill them, but countless people killed. He was a major threat. So he ended up never coming, and he ended up shortly thereafter just grabbing his gut and dying. There comes a time where the Lord says, my plan and my purpose is going through. He was not of the faith, but he definitely was, unless he repented when he died. I hope he did. I hope so, that he's not in hell. But he was definitely a threat. And God says, I want my kids to be safe. Those who belong to me, I want them to be safe. When Heidi Baker came to me in the hospital, when I was in the, you know, on life support in 2009, she looked at me. She already knew what the Lord was doing and what he said. And so she didn't really come going, oh God, heal her. It wasn't like that. I couldn't do anything. She just came and she said, you know what? When you get back to Ghana, it's going to be wild. And when you go to Mozambique, we got to get out in the bush. When you get back to Ohio, it's going to be ripping up time. That's for you. And God, and the enemy will do anything to steal that. Okay? So, yeah. Let me show you this verse for David, because I believe every one of you in here, everyone who's been called to frontline, everyone who's covenanted with us, everyone who's been brought here, everyone who has had that kingdom heart and vision, every one of you is a David. And let me show you what God did to save David so that he could finish well and then pass his legacy on to his children, Solomon and others. But let's put up 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want to show you something, because this is love. What Paul said was love. You see, if there is gunk in our heart, we can't offer a word of truth to someone really in a very effective way. So God says, get the gunk out of your heart, but be bold, because there are a lot of Davids that Goliath would like to take out. And God wants us all to become Davids. We'll be able to easily take care of Goliath. Okay? And you know, when David did that publicly for all people to see, David slew Goliath, and we all sing about it, but he killed a few other critters when no one else was looking, because he was very strong. And so he could kill the bear and the lion, and he was tested and he was tried, and the Lord said, this is your season, O ye of great faith. Okay? Oh, great faith. God says, use what I've given you. And if you can't see, listen to somebody else, because they will help you. Because you must see that the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my, are after us right now to be able to keep us from being able to slay the true Goliaths that are even bigger. That is a word from the Lord for you. Yeah. So let me show you this text, and I want you to think about this again from a heart of freedom. And look at what God said. The Lord, now remember what David did. He sinned against himself and God first, and he had to go make things right. But he allowed himself to slip, and he had eyes of lust. He went into the flesh, and he went with Bathsheba, and he sinned with her pretty drastically. And obviously, you know that he was threatened by that. Oh no, what do I do? So he had to make it worse. I got to get rid of her husband too. So he went and actually killed Uriah the Hittite. And you think, well, I would never do that. But any time that we sin Anytime we don't listen to the Spirit of God on the inside, we're rising up in absolute defiance to the Lord. That's what being foolish the Galatians were doing. They weren't going out and sleeping necessarily. Maybe they were. Maybe they weren't killing people, but they were adulterated from the Spirit of God in the sense that they didn't listen. The Spirit of God is saying, don't do that. That's what the commander is saying to Pastor Jose. Don't do that. Listen. Don't turn your back. Okay? So it's in this hour, it's very significant because God's doing something in this region, overseas and in this region. And he says, kids, wake up and see. Don't use your excuses. Listen to what I'm saying to you. So, the Lord sent Nathan. Nathan was a prophet because David did not repent. David did not quickly repent. And God knew that David would be taken down and out like many other kings. David would not be able to surface. But you read about his life and you see God says, you're a man after my own heart? Well, that gives me a license to go not listen to your voice? No. God was so strong that he sent Nathan to him. Notice the words. Lord sent Nathan, because he uses people. He could have appeared in a dream. He could have said, David, what's up? What are you doing? Look what I've done. But he sent a person, and he said, this is the word of the Lord. Listen to it. And maybe at first he didn't see it or hear it, but because it was the word of the Lord, he did, because he was a man after God's own heart. And we have to believe that. For people, maybe people you've been praying for salvation for years, you know, or friends or family members or whatever. Keep on, you know, and if you have a prophetic voice, God's going to use it in the way that he says, but we have to be able to know that, and we have to be able to walk in that and not fear that, because we may be the very one that will help someone come out of a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, but Jesus was in there with them, the ultimate prophet. So the Lord sent Nathan, and he came to him, and look what he said. He gave him a picture, a word picture. And you know what I thought when I read this? I haven't thought about that, actually, till today. Just now. That this might have been a vision. Maybe he was sleeping. We don't know exactly. Maybe he was sleeping, and God gave him a vision. Or maybe he just opened his mouth and he started speaking. Who knows? But this was the way that he could get to David. God gave him the wisdom because Nathan was clean. So God sent him. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock of his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Now catch this. I love this. David was a man who wanted justice. I want justice. But he missed something in the area of righteousness because he wasn't obeying God. But he wanted justice. But the Lord said, justice and righteousness are the foundation of my throne. So therefore, if you really want to track with me and bring heaven to earth as you say, then this is what you must do. And so this is something for all of us in the area of our personal life when we're before the Lord in the morning and saying, oh, Lord, or at night, or just laying there, whatever it is. He's saying, listen, I want you to touch heaven. I want to touch you. That second heaven stuff will destroy you. Don't let it stay there because it will hurt you, and it will be like a big cobweb, a spider web in your brain, and you'll start thinking weird things and feeling weird sensations and having weird reasonings. So David had to have something like that going on, wouldn't you say? To have the gifts and the release from heaven that he had, and yet he'd go do this kind of stuff? I mean, that shows you how strong the enemy is. And David was still, he had this heart for God, you know? And that's what's so deceiving or fooling. for each one of us when we say, I'm fine, God. And the Lord says, don't deceive yourself. I'm fine, God. It has to match up with what I say. And then you'll know you're fine. You see the difference? And so the enemy doesn't want us to think that way. But Jesus does. Okay, so David's anger burned against the man. I mean, being this great David, you know, he's this cool dude. And he says to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and he had no compassion. Yeah, take that. But he couldn't. He couldn't really have any power to do anything with just an opinion like that. At all. Because he had stuff going on. And God had to send Nathan. I don't know what God did to try to talk to David before that. He was a worshiper. He worshiped him. He had to get close. So I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. But I believe God's speaking, and he'll tell us something. He'll tell us if we're going backwards. He'll tell us if we think we're something and we're not, or we're going somewhere, and you know, in whatever way. He will speak because he cares. But he will speak through his word, but he might also speak through others with his word. And so that's what you want to see, what God might say to us. Nathan says to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I also gave you. Okay, now remember, listen to the tense. You are the man. Thus says the Lord, I. He starts speaking the words of God, the words of the Father, and he speaks them right into them. They were heaven words. They were truth. And he's saying, I did this for you. We can read the word of God and say, I did this for you. I revealed myself to you. I have saved you by the Spirit. I have pulled you out of the flesh. You see? I have made you a king and a priest. I have, and just continue that going, I have created and given you the identity you have. Don't discount that. If you do, the enemy will eat your lunch. And that's what he's saying. I love it. I. It's from God. And it's a good I. I like this. And he says, I gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your care, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold. And it goes on and on and on and on and on what God says will happen to him. Look at verse 12. It says, indeed you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun. So let's just... I don't want to go into all the horrible things that happened, because that's not my point here, because I don't want to give the enemy any due. So let's just take it off. Okay? It's scriptural and you can read it, but I want you to hear this from a mother's heart and father's heart, because the father-mother heart of God says, we want to step into the place of being David's on every front. We can't go and sing up here or sing back here and not be a David outside of here. God is saying, you need to be a David. And that means you need to see what God is saying. I don't know if I had any more up there. Was that all the way through verse 15? Okay. David responded to the Lord and repented on the spot. Do you know why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. And the word of the Lord came to him and it was strong. And he repented. He didn't wait. He didn't think about it. He didn't assess it. He didn't just play with it. He responded to the word of the Lord. And he was able to get out of it because of that. And he went to Bathsheba and they birthed Solomon. How about that? God forgave him. But there were also really rough things for the next 25 years because of the law of sowing and reaping. And so God doesn't want any of his kids to be hurt. So I'm not here like this. That's not me. I've never been like that. I hope, I trust, I don't want to ever be. Because far be it for me, because God is a God of grace. But he's saying, if you play with grace, you will enter into the law. If you enter into the law, the enemy will trick you. And he calls all of us to be able to see clearly what is happening. What does love look like? And what does the strategy of the enemy look like? He will show you, as we receive, what love looks like. He will show you what strategies are. And then he will call people to take a stand for the strategy against the enemy, because that's the strategy of love. Nathan was sent by God because of love. And David repented on the spot. So if there's ever a call for repentance, you want to join in any possible way. But at our own homes, we want to take a look at everything and not use this up here. It needs to be this. It needs to be this. And that is going to take us into the revival, wow, that God is releasing. He's already doing it, guys, around this area. People from outside of Ohio, outside of northeastern Ohio, they're feeling it. It's more than a trickle. It's happening. And God wants nothing to be interrupted that way. And so when he says, we need to say, God, forgive me, then what we have to do is we have to take the next step, and we have to go to the people that have been part of that offense. Really, we have to do that. Because if not, there will be more bears than lions, and they will gain strength. Do you see? We have to we have to complete a cycle. So for David to be free and to be able to finish what he was called to do as a great king and leader and worshiper, okay, he had to go and not only say he was sorry, ask for forgiveness from the Lord, he had to mean it from his heart, and then he had to go to the other people and say, I have done this. I have sinned, in this case, publicly, because he was a king. We're held to a pretty high standard when we're a leader, and all of us are leaders, you know, of something, somewhere, it seems, or we're in that process. And so what we have to do is say, I need to humble myself, Lord. And that's not groveling. That is the truth of how it works in the scripture for us to stay clean. Groveling is a fleshly thought to keep anybody away from doing what the Holy Spirit is directing and saying. And then we'll be able to move powerfully in the Lord. So we need to do this, you know, in your neighborhoods, if you've got something going, you know, where you're annoyed by your neighbor or whatever, we need to make it right, not just say, okay, I'll tolerate them. Or on the mission field, you know, whatever went on in the mission field, if you ever were on a mission field and you felt this or that, you need to go back and make things right and say, I thought this about you. I felt this about you. And I need to take full responsibility because I have judged you. I have held an offense. I have not forgiven. I have, if even there is a need for that. But we need to recognize even more than that what it is inside of us that may have caused us to take that stand in the first place. And that's the very thing that Nathan was used by God to help David get rid of so that he could finish well. You see, these are secret strategies of the king. Really good stuff, isn't it? Yeah. So we want to be wise. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be very, very wise and love. Always love. But love will look like something, and it will be very, very, very specific about the cross and the resurrection, and there's no shortcut. And that's how we go low and we stay low, but hold our head up high. Yeah. That's good. Do you love that? So, Father, I'm going to ask that our worship team comes up. If we can sing together, I Won't Relent, that last song, that would be great. Thank you. Pastor Bill and the team want to call in and say hi from Ghana. Oh, yeah, okay, before we sing, let's bring the kids out so they can all hear. That'd be good. Bring them all out. They can sing with us. Rick's going upstairs. Can somebody go back here and get the kids? Let's just close with singing this and just trusting God for a special hello. Get to hear everybody. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Wow. You know, last night my son Joey was not feeling well at all, and I switched my schedule to what I was going to do, to go up and help him because his wife was working, and my little granddaughter Haley looked at me and she said, "You know what? I'm learning about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." I said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah, they were in the fiery furnace. And do you know who was in there with them?" And I said, "Who?" "Another person." I said, "Do you know who that person was?" "Who?" "Jesus." She goes, "Oh, yay, Jesus." 3 years old. Wow. Makes me happy. Hey, guys, we're going to hear from Pastor Bill and people, I guess, in Ghana, and then sing and go. Thank you, Jesus. I love this church family. Hey, guys. Just grab a seat with your parents or something, okay? You got him, hon?
So I did, but when I try to call it, it doesn't work. So I texted.
Do you want to get the phone? Maybe it's your cell phone. Troy, can you try to get him up real quick? Can you get Pastor Bill on the phone real quick? That'd be good. Pastor Bill, guys, and Josh, and Deanne, and Carly are in Ghana. That's a place in Africa, a place I hope all of you get to go someday, and he's far away. They're far away, and they just want to say hello to us before we close here. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Look at all these little Davids. Look at all these worshipers. I love it. I love it. Yeah, a lot of Davids here. Oh, that's all of you. That's not just little people. Amen. Yes, yeah, so we're just calling everybody out to have a special hello from Ghana. And then, and you can keep recording this. That's good. So we'll, anybody who isn't here can listen to it. That's kind of fun. We're going to sing one more song, everybody, and then just be free to go. Have a great day. Yes, Lord. Amen. This is good. These two. I also want to thank you. I wanted everybody out here. I want to thank you all for honoring the Lord by honoring Pastor Bill and I last week. I was totally shocked. I was crying my heart out up here, and so was Pastor Bill. I don't know how many of you saw that. You know I'm... You saw that. Because... that's what love does. Love honors. And, it, you know, the enemy would want to mix that up and confuse that. But love is like that. So thank you for honoring the Lord. I believe it really blessed, well, it blessed us, but I really believe it blessed the Lord a lot. Yeah. Hang on, guys, before you leave. Can you hang on? We want you to hear this.
Hello?
How is everyone doing?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, hon.
Amen. Powerful.
Powerful. Hey, hi, hon. How are you?
It's Josh.
Oh, hi, Josh.
Well?
Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hey, we love you, Josh.
Hello. Hello.
We have begun preaching the good news and seeing people healed and saved and delivered, and it is going wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. We saw some pictures this morning, Josh, of the church service. It was amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. So you heard some of the testimonies, eh?
What is that? Oh, yes, we heard the testimonies, too. We did. This seems really strange. Hey, can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Is Pastor Bill
and
there?
We are loving. Yes. Yes. We are loving staying on our own land, in our own building.
We love staying on our own land.
Oh, man. That is so cool.
All of the team here is here, and they want to say hello as well.
Everybody say hi, Carly. So, hi, Deanne. Hi, Josh. Hi, Pastor Bill.
Hello, everyone. Woo! I love Ghana.
I love Ghana.
I may never come home. There are many opportunities for me here.
We'll join you. we'll just split you up there. Hey, we love you. We miss you. Guys having a good time?
Yes, we're having a great time.
That's awesome.
It's so much fun.
Oh,
yes, the land is beautiful and it's so green here.
How was it, Carly, when you saw the land for the first time? It's your first time to Ghana. What was that like?
Well, first time getting to our land, or first time in the country, seeing the country.
What'd you say?
First time getting to our land, it was 2:15 a.m., so I did not see much. But now that we are here for the day, it is very beautiful.
So they got in at 2:15 in the morning because of the broken vehicle. So she said she didn't see much at first, but now
that's good.
It's very beautiful. On our land.
Amen. Well, God bless
Amen.
You. God bless you. Did Deanne talk already? Can you put Deanne on real quick? Because we're closing here. We want to hear her.
Here is Deanne.
Okay.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
I wish many of you could be here. We had so many people at church this morning. It was overwhelming.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
They introduced, I think, 4 or 5new branches that brought members since the last time we were here. So they are growing.
New branches
fast.
Have brought members since last year.
That's awesome. Amen. Well, we love
so
you.
So I will pass the phone to Pastor Bill. I love you guys, too.
Okay.
We love you.
My interpreter. Love you, Dee. Bye.
Hello, Frontline. Wow.
Hey, love. Hi, sweetie.
Yes.
I love you.
What? I love you, too. I love the people on Frontline. Such enthusiasm.
You are on speakerphone.
Wow. It sounds like the worship here.
We saw the pictures.
They went into a different gear. When they're dancing, Rick would not be able to keep up.
I didn't catch it. So, what do you say?
So, there was a big, big crowd at the church today. Very big.
We saw the picture. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was.
So proud of you guys.
Open.
Well, we love
What's
you.
What's that?
We're closing now. We're going to finish with We Won't Relent, and we'll sing it really loud for you guys over there, too, to the Lord. So we love you so much.
Amen.
Missed you. We're proud of you guys.
We love you, too.
Love you.
Very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Lord, we just close with I Won't Relent, and you are free to leave as you are so led. It's a little bit longer today because of all the Ghana stuff, so thanks for your patience. Holy, holy, holy Lord, your ways, your heart, your best.
Thank you for loving us so much that you don't leave us the same. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your prophetic heart, your prophetic voice, because you're speaking and we choose to listen so we can carry everything you've released all the days of our life. Thank you, Papa. We love you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we will not allow anything to hinder that joy and peace that you want to live in us and reflect through us all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And God bless you. Encourage you to listen to PJ's message in its entirety. A true prophet speaking to all of us. Makes me shake inside when I'm listening to what he says. So be encouraged today. God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.